And we are back with an all-new episode of Keep It. I am back in LA. I'm Ira.
I'm Kara.
I'm Omarosa, and I'm back.
Get out. Get out. Get out.
At what age did you realize I'm the Omarosa of Keep It? I was 31.
I'm glad to be back in LA.
I'm sure it was a decadent getaway.
It was a hot getaway. New York was gross. I don't know why I went during the summer.
Yeah, that was dumb of you.
Yeah.
I was in Vegas last week, though, so there you have it.
That's right. Lewis was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
I was a contestant. You know, I'm an obsessive game show fan. And now I'm pretty sure there are no trivia games left for me, and I don't know why I'm still on Earth.
Are you a millionaire?
I can't say. Okay. I am an NDA signee.
Got it.
Who is the host now?
Chris Harrison from The Bachelor.
Okay.
Who is very debonair and a very good host.
He's
lovely.
Different than Chris Hardwick.
Correct.
Yes?
Oh, yes.
Those are different people?
No, I didn't have to take him down.
Got it.
Chris Hardwick did get his job back, though.
What was his job?
Hosting 15 different things.
Right.
He hosts Talking Dead. He had, like, a Nerdist podcast.
At midnight.
All I know about him is that he probably abuses women. That's literally, like, I haven't heard of him before. I know him only because of this. I have no contacts for him beyond
the rest
that.
Of his wiki was erased. It's just, Chris Harrison, born 1971, probably abused women.
Got it, yeah.
Since last week, I talked with Aminatu and Doreen about James Gunn.
They were fabulous, by the way.
Thank you.
You guys need to be nicer. You were blessed with Amina and Doreen, and I know you missed us, but they are wonderful.
There were some fans who were out of pocket. And I blocked some of you.
Oh,
and
God.
You know what you did.
Well.
You were blessed with Amina and Doreen. They are brilliant and wonderful and incredible and better at what they do than most everyone living. So respect on their goddamn name.
Don't make me bring on Amy Schumer next week.
Oh my God.
But we talked about James Gunn last week, and since then, the whole cast has now petitioned Disney to rehire him.
Hooray! I don't know.
Listen, Chris Pratt even came out with some Bible verses.
Did you see in the statement, that was the funny thing, where they're like, we've been thinking about this and praying about this. And I was like, you know, Chris made them put pray in that statement.
It's actually kind of funny to me because it's like the right-wing crazy people going against the Guardians of the Galaxy people. But Chris Pratt is in the middle of this. So he's like this religious right person too.
Right. Chris Pratt, the worst part about Avengers, only because, not him specifically, like, as a person, but his character, whatever, spoiler, if you've seen it, it's been 2 years ago.
It's on digital now.
I was so angry in that movie. I was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. You were messing all of this shit up for your green girlfriend who's probably not really dead in the first fucking place. I almost walked out. I was furious. So I've projected that onto Chris Pratt as a person.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to adapt Green Girlfriend next. That's the next franchise.
Green Girlfriend who's probably still alive.
Starring Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Green Girlfriend. Sorry, Zoe.
She's going to issue a statement to the green community. I'm one of you. I understand you.
Coming up later this episode, we have a guest I am very excited about. Marti Knoxon. I have loved her since Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but she is also a producer of Sharp Objects, Dietland, Code Black, Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, Unreal. She's doing everything. So we're going to talk to her a little bit later on the show.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
Normally, I like Jake Tapper. He looks very nice in suits, and I loved his GQ profile. And, you know, I just stare at pictures of him sometimes.
He also has that salt and pepper that looks like the stress has gotten to him, which is very sexy.
Yes, but he jumped out the window on Twitter this week when responding to a tweet from HuffPost that showed Barack and Michelle Obama dancing at the Beyonce and Jay-Z Washington, D.C. concert. He attacked them like we were in Footloose, saying the Democratic Party is the weakest it has been since the 1920s, but shrug emoji.
Not even an emoji. That emoticon.
Sorry, the shrug emoticon.
Like it is 2015.
Having an AIM chat about the...
Seriously.
Yeah.
And clearly... None of Twitter was having it.
Jake blocked me on Twitter.
Did he?
Yeah, because I tweeted, fuck off. Which, and then I think he later unblocked me. But yeah, he blocked me. He was blocking a lot of people on Twitter who were basically like, what is this dumbass tweet?
I saw some people mention like the next day that Jake unblocked them.
And I got to say, listen, I block people on Twitter all the time. Like if you just say good morning to me the wrong way, I'll probably block you on Twitter. However, I'm not a journalist. And so it is kind of different. I mean, fuck off was rude. I'll fully recognize that. But there were people who were responding to him in much more measured ways, and he was blocking them too. And like,
people
if we're
tell Maggie
you,
Haberman, fuck right, you daily.
If we're
she doesn't block
you,
anybody.
If we're going to call you a journalist, which at CNN is a favor we're doing calling you a journalist. I think you probably do need to be a little bit more even-handed with the blocking.
Also, I was just going to say, I think some people would argue that CNN's the worst, also the worst
the
it's
worst.
Been in years, and
the
you're
worst.
Spending your time on this, you know?
The nerve of this man. Have the Obamas not done enough for you people? My God, they've done more than most people. I haven't served my country for 8 years, and frankly, I think that black people doing anything to help this country is a gift to everyone. We've given you hundreds of years of free labor. Everything is a bonus. Everything is a bonus. Barack and Michelle were a kind, benevolent bonus to all of you. They are done. He doesn't need to give a goddamn shit about the Democratic Party because he is not a politician anymore, and he's not going to be. And Michelle is not a politician, was never going to be, is not going to be. It is not their job to lead the Democratic Party. You need to go looking at all these other people who are not doing their jobs and who you give these soft-ass interviews to on your television network.
Also, Barack and Michelle spent plenty of time trying to tell y'all to vote for someone who's currently not in office. So let's talk about who didn't do their job.
I have this wild take that Barack and Michelle at a concert of Jay-Z and Beyonce helps the Democratic Party. I don't feel like it's falling apart because they're enjoying two very well-known, very successful black Democrats.
The only thing I'm mad about, frankly, is the fact that this is Michelle's second time because I saw her hanging out with Tina Lawson at the show in Paris, and I've had enough.
Oh. You need Jake Tapper, you need to worry about the fact that you keep letting Kellyanne Conman come on your show and lie to you. You need to worry about all of these other Trump people you come making shit up on your airwaves.
How many times is Rudy Giuliani
How many
on
goddamn
TV?
Times are you letting that liar come and lie to your face? That's what you need to worry about. You need to leave the Obamas alone.
Also, this is just honestly my least favorite type of tweet, and it's an old type of tweet too, which is, you know, I remember when Michael Jackson died, people on my feed being brilliant and being like, how can you spend time talking about this when there's a war in Syria or whatever they fucking say? It's like, because people contain multitudes, because we like things sometimes and don't have to be, you know, discussing the harshest issues of all time in order to deal with the universe.
We gotta talk about your damn cartoons that he's out here drawing.
Right.
Come on.
I don't come to your apartment and slap the Donkey Kong controller out of your hand. Like, I don't stand outside your apartment, like, wondering what you're doing at night. So, like, let these people enjoy a concert. Most people go to concerts.
Yeah.
The only reason it became a story is because it's Barack and Michelle at a concert. Also, a Beyonce concert is 2 hours.
Indeed. And choreographed to the hilt. Also, no, it's not like in the What Happened book by Hillary Clinton. She's like, you know what got us here? The Obamas going to concerts.
Right. Also, I feel like if I'm the Obamas, I'm like, we tried to tell you motherfuckers for so long. Michelle just wanted us to eat vegetables,
right,
and nobody would fucking listen. So if I were them, I'd be like, screw it. I'm enjoying my life. Nobody was listening to us anyway. Good day.
If anything, she is continuing to tell us to get up and move. Get up and move to Beyonce.
Right. No, remember all those years when she's like, I will go on the Ellen show again to show you what dancing is, but now you need to take the lead.
Also, like, why aren't you worried about what's George Bush doing in those damn paintings? Have you bothered him about his hobbies? Are you asking where Bill Clinton is, what he's doing? Why is it only the Obamas that when they decide that they want to enjoy themselves after having gone through enough that everyone gets all up in arms? They're the only ones. I've never seen like, oh, George and Laura went to, you know, a Kenny Chesney. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, right. Yes.
Concert and
the former Mr. Renee Zellweger.
Whatever.
By the way, Jay Tapper, weirdly, he's usually fine on Twitter, but he has this history of like being over entertainment news. One time there was a story about Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber are reportedly friends again, and he responded, I found the tweet that I care absolutely the least about in the whole world. Congratulations. You don't like entertainment? Some of us like it.
You work at an entertainment network, my man.
Yeah, right.
Like, half that shit is not real. So I wouldn't be out here shading entertainment news.
You're working for Down Low E, CNN.
I already had to Kate Bush run back up that hill to like Jake Tapper again, because some of you may recall that he tried to drag me on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
When I said that Jeff Sessions was using his granddaughter as a political prop to show that he was not racist, which I feel like the past 2 years have shown that Jeff Sessions is fully racist.
Two years? That man's date, the day he was born. He was the only racist baby ever born in the history of people.
He was so aghast about it. But then he ended up following me on Twitter.
But it's just that type of, it's that CNN brand of like, everyone deserves an equal voice in just a really like dumb, simplistic way. It's just like, you know, by criticizing the Obamas, he's showing that he's like fair. It's like, man, this is not the thing to criticize them about. And obviously, Democrats and liberals deserve criticism for a lot of things. And this just isn't it. And so for you to choose those things, it just does not help the credibility that CNN is hanging on to by a thin, thin thread.
By the way, can I just say, in the tweet, you know what else I hate? And this is something people do on Twitter. At the end of the tweet, putting the shrug emoticon, it's like, can't you just express an actual opinion without telling us what to feel about it? It's like when people end a tweet with LOL or LMAO. It's like, this is cheap. Just make the LOL happen. Don't like smugly include your own laugh so as to pretend like it's so obvious this is laughable what I'm saying. It's like, no, I don't believe you. You're indicating.
Maybe the funniest thing about this story is the fact that the only place I could find that has reported on Jake's tweet was conservative and right-wing blogs.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And they were eating up the fact that the song that they were dancing to was Niggas in Paris. Ugh.
That's what you did, Jake. See, that's the kind of shit. That's what you're doing. You're giving them fodder for this stupid bullshit.
I also actually have to give props to Whoopi Goldberg, who responded to it on The View by saying,
Jake, I'm taking you to a concert because you are stressed.
Oh my God.
You need to come and go to a concert and have some fun.
Even, you know,
Meghan McCain.
Yeah, that Captain Planet villain.
Yeah.
She even said,
if you work all the time, you become Ted Cruz, and then you can't socialize in a normal way with people.
Yeah, right.
Just
nearly
completely
woke.
Soulless, boring, and unfun.
Right, and made of Velveeta, as Ted Cruz is.
Also, he hasn't acknowledged that the tweet was stupid.
Because which is weird.
He unblocked people and didn't delete it.
Didn't delete it, and not even referencing like that was dumb. Like, that's to me the biggest issue with it, which, like, if nothing else, if we're being generous, it was a stupid tweet. And to not even just say like anything at all about it, I'm like, oh, he doesn't think there was anything wrong. He think he made some really smart man statement about the Obamas dancing at a fucking concert.
I now want to follow him to in his nightlife to see if he goes to any concerts.
Oh,
be
yeah.
Like, CNN's ratings are down, but you're at a concert.
I hope I guess you're never going to a concert ever again, Jake Tapper.
Don't enjoy yourself, Jake Tapper.
CNN is on fire. Shrug. Why are you at a concert?
Anyway, Jake, stop tweeting about the Obamas. Do your job. Wear nice suits and give me a hug.
Right. I'll accept a high five. You can have the fucking
also,
high.
Also, why don't you try to move your hips to Niggas in Paris? Because that is a jam still, man.
C six women accuse CBS chief Les Moonves of sexual harassment in a new Ronan Farrow piece for The New Yorker. Four women said that Moonves forcibly touched or kissed them during business meetings, and two said that he physically intimidated them or threatened to derail their careers. For the time being, however, CBS board members are remaining by his side while they seek outside counsel.
Because this is the first they've heard of this. They're very shocked. Why? I heard about this like 6 months ago.
Right. Let's just say that when you're at a random party in Hollywood and people are like, I hear Ronan Farrow's next piece is going to be about Les Moonves, the CBS board knows about it.
Yeah, right.
They probably knew about it 10, 15 years ago when these women were first being sexually harassed by this man.
Also, do you know what is the sad upshot of these articles? Finally being reacquainted with actresses I haven't thought about in a while. Like, oh, Ileana Douglas, how's she doing? Oh, wait, terribly, because Les Moonves victimized her. It's like this Where Are They Now special, these Ronan Farrow articles, where you get reacquainted with people you thought you lost to just the consequence of Hollywood. But no, actually, so horrible men got in their way.
Aside from, you know, the fact that we talked that people were, you know, intimating that this story might come out, was this surprising? Les never really seemed like a Harvey Weinstein. But, I mean, I know this is not surprising because he's a man with power.
I was going to say, and also at CBS, where I believe their most diverse show was, like, the extras of Two Broke Girls.
Shamar Moore in a show of all white people solving mysteries.
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
No, not surprising. These men are trash, 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 trash.
CBS, are they making the right decision now? Is it right to seek the outside counsel? I guess they have to legally.
Right.
But the board decided not to do anything.
I think they're probably like, well, he probably didn't rape anyone. That's the bad one, right? That they feel that he can probably skate by and they can send him to some rehab center and he can apologize. And that's part of the problem when you make Harvey Weinstein the bar for bad behavior. Anything under Harvey Weinstein, so many people are like, oh, well, we can work through that. And it's like, no, this is still shitty. He probably deserves to lose his job. You don't have to sexually assault someone violently in order to not be competent to serve in the role that you're in.
Also, I just believe these women. I believe Ileana Douglas. I believe the women in the story. So I just think it'd be smart for Les Moonves to step down after doing it for 70 years anyway with his trillions of dollars. Does he need to keep doing this?
I mean, he probably still thinks I Dream a Genie is on. So, I mean,
ain't no mocking of Barbara Eden on this show.
I will also commend Stephen Colbert, who has The Late Show on CBS and opened his show with a monologue about how accountability is for everybody.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I do believe in accountability. And not just for politicians you disagree with. Everybody believes in accountability until it's their guy. And make no mistake, Les Moonves is my guy. He hired me to sit in this chair. He stood behind this show while we were struggling to find our voice. He gave us the time and the resources to succeed, and he has stood by us when people were mad at me. And I like working for him. But accountability is meaningless unless it's for everybody, whether it's the leader of a network or the leader of the free world. We'll be right back.
He called out Moonves the same way he called out Charlie Rose when those allegations happened. And, you know, I like that he continues to be a man who will sort of use his power to call out people because he knows ain't nobody firing Stephen Colbert.
There was a TV writer, I think Owen Ellickson, who tweeted this over the weekend, and it really was the sentiment. I wrote a piece in The Guardian a couple months ago about the NFL and the kneeling and the protesting, where if every black player in the NFL is like, I'm not playing on Sunday, you better goddamn believe that they are going to let them kneel during the fucking national anthem. If every star of a CBS show, if the Big Bang Theory is like, we're not coming on set unless you get rid of that man. Do you know how quickly his ass would be gone? How quickly? And for people, especially people who are in such positions of power, who losing their jobs is not going to fucking kill them or ruin their lives, who are going to get other jobs, who are famous, who are going to be supported, to not just stick your neck out the slightest bit, because you do have much more power in these situations than you realize.
Like Chuck Lorre was like, that's a conversation for another day, when he was asked at TCA's about it. And it's like, you have 700 TV shows.
No, it's not. No, it's, you have a billion $1 billion from television. What? How we? Do you really think? Do you really think if you came out here and said Les Moonves is a creep, I don't want him to be there anymore? Do you really think they're going to be like, oh well, fuck you, Chuck Lorre, Les Estain? Oh my God, he would be out so quickly. You print money for that network, and I don't understand why these people get so cowardly in these situations when they have so little to lose.
Also, he's so powerful, he got a show called Mom on the air, which I think is like a superhuman feat. Nothing wrong with the show Mom, by the way. Just other, it's like among the worst titles I've ever
heard. I enjoy it.
Yeah. They're both great. Great comic actors. But our girl, Julie Chen, though, is sticking by her
whose
man.
Whose girl?
Lewis and, I watch Big Brother.
I used to watch Big Brother. It doesn't make anyone's girl.
Well, we have a disease where we can't stop. And I will say this. Julie Chen is stuck by her man since day one. Will her loyalty fold in the coming weeks? We'll soon find out. But first, CBS execs don't know what to do about Les Moonves. Is his time at the top limited? Let's find out. Anyway, that was my Big Brother shout out. I asked if I could do this bit and they let me.
Did we?
I didn't know when it was coming, to be honest.
You sort of surprised us with that bit. Sort of. Popped out of the grave like
I thought
Carrie's
we were
going
to get a warning.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I haven't been to a Second City class, but I feel like that was a good improv one exercise for me. Mm-hmm. Not that I didn't write that whole bit down. I did.
There was someone on Twitter who said something great, which is like that Julie Chen, she supported her husband. And it was basically like, oh, yeah, the one woman who accepted his advancements is obviously not going to be pissed about this situation. Like, if you had said no, you would have been in the same position as these other women, girl, and to, like, not recognize that.
Right, because she was working at CBS.
Exactly.
She.
You really think that didn't start out as him creeping on her and she just was fine with it? Please.
It's like, are you the first woman that Hay has approached in the workplace to start something with?
You just the first one that said yes, girl.
Open your eyes to the shocking twists, Julie.
Right. I will say this about her. She is never at a loss for words. And I forget, when she came to CBS, she wanted to be a 60 Minutes correspondent. So I'm just saying, those people are always right on it when it comes to a statement and being smart and articulate right off the bat. So I think Julie Chen is just like, she is ready and prepared.
She has Big Brother and the talk, and she is not giving them up.
That's what I'm saying.
It's one of those, I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago, where like I feel so torn, where I don't think that these women should be held accountable, but I'm like, this isn't it though. And I don't know what it looks like when like your partner is the one in this position, but I'm like, I know that this is not the right reaction.
Well, in her statement, it was very much about his reputation. She being like, I'm going to stay with him today, tomorrow, forever. And it's like, well, you need to also acknowledge the women who are speaking out. Precisely. No, but like, what do you think about what Ileana Douglas said? That strikes me as a crazy story to make up.
Because you could have also said, like, I think I'm embarrassed and upset by my husband's behavior. I'm going to stand by him. Like, even just some acknowledgement. Because, girl, you knew. Please.
It's interesting for Julie Chen as a journalist in
where?
Some respects
where
in
where the talk
on listen the talk
she actually was a war was, correspondent
was.
For 1 second
she was yeah, yes yeah. Mm-hmm. She was
the talk does very serious investigations care.
Remember when they didn't wear makeup?
Remember when they all were like ripping off
wigs.
Their wigs?
Oh,
their
God.
And Julie Chen pretended to tug at her.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. They won a Peabody for that, right?
Yes.
The de-wigging episode.
But yes, I agree, Carol. You know, it's like the same thing with like a Georgina Chapman. You know, it's like we don't expect these women to be accountable. And a lot of people immediately came out with, don't hold these women accountable. Don't hold these women accountable. Yes, but if Julia is going to get out in front of this story in this regard, then we do have to hold her accountable in some part for what she says. I mean, y'all didn't give the same respect to Camille Cosby.
Beautifully said. Julie, get out. Run out of there. Hide in the Big Brother house.
Also,
he'll never find you.
She could also, again, say nothing. But now that she's released a statement, she's putting herself into it a lot more. And it's just the fact that she benefited so greatly by being married to this man is the other thing that you can't ignore. You can't act like it was just all a coincidence, all of this. Like, it helped her. And so she benefited from the power that he had. And so the way that he abused that power is not something she can be completely divorced from.
I think also, though, that also makes it hard to judge her statement because it's hard to tell how much CBS is making her do it.
Right.
You know? So it's hard to tell, like, how much of it's on her own free will, et cetera.
And just legal-wise of being his wife currently, you know, for future lawsuits or any other sort of investigation. It's sort of like a statement that has to be said.
Also, how long is this investigation going to take?
Right.
Because they said an outside investigator. I'm like, so do we have a timeline on this?
Well, they are having the whole cast of Scorpion canvas Moon vs. Computer.
Catherine McPhee is parachuting onto his house.
I guess we'll see how long it will take.
He'll probably be fine.
Good job, Ronan Farrow.
Good job, Ronan Farrow, but I'm like, he'll probably, like so many of these awful men, he will escape unscathed, or he will maybe get fired. He will get millions of dollars in the process and probably come back on, who was doing that show about abused men, Charlie Rose?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of those
groups? Oh, yeah.
Is that trying to. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
If Ronan gets another Pulitzer, I just want to say, I believe it's cheating to get a Pulitzer for writing something that helps people. You should have to get a Pulitzer for things like movie criticism, for a long-form piece about a celebrity. That's very nice. So stop cheating, honey.
And also, listen, I don't think anyone would notice if Moonvest went away from CBS. It would probably benefit the network, to be honest, and it would get a little bit more diverse. Put a woman in there. Maybe even a woman of color. And if...
What?
He really needs to run something. Give him the CBS All Access. No one will even notice.
That's right.
But don't touch the good fight. To keep your hands off the good fight.
Oh, that's right. Keep him away from Christine Baranski.
It sounds like you're saying this is a code black and they should replace him with a woman of color. Anyway, that was my whole joke.
Oh, God. Come on.
Code black.
Go back to the Big Brother bit. Come on.
I was not even going to joke about firing you this week. Code black. When we're back, we'll be joined by Marty Noxon for a conversation about the cult of Gwyneth Paltrow. We are back with one of the busiest women in TV, Marty Noxon. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I think I have the distinction of being the oldest person you've ever had on. Do I?
My references are older than you are. Don't worry.
You win. That's true.
Listen, Marty, Sharp Objects.
Yes.
Dietland.
Yes.
Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce.
Yes.
Unreal.
Yes.
Code Black.
Well, Code Black, I have the distinction of having the best kind of Hollywood job, which is that I helped produce the documentary that it's based on. So I did literally nothing.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's the job I aspire to.
How do we get into that?
It's the Gwyneth Paltrow of jobs.
I was going to say, so what you're saying is you're lazy.
I am. I'm just a lazy, lazy woman. Yeah.
And of course, I have loved your work since Buffy.
Oh, thank you.
You've done so much work. You're like Ang Lee, where it's just you're into Life of Pi and Sense and Sensibility. Just everything counts.
Well, you know, I feel like I did grow up in the ice storm, so that is a fun, wonderful reference.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, you may stay. Good reference. Yeah.
I'm glad you are here, and you said that your entire room is well-versed in the new New York Times Magazine profile of Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah. Ooh.
Where she explained that she has taken the internet's hatred of her and figured out how to turn it into cash. She calls these moments, quote, cultural firestorms.
Oh, my God.
And she can monetize those eyeballs.
That was the longest article.
It's quite long.
I kept thinking, surely this woman has spent enough time with Gwyneth to find a kicker to end this. And yet it kept going and going and going.
And yet I devoured every word like it was like Chardonnay. And yet, you know, it's funny because, you know, we did. We all were like, this is a must. Because in a weird way, like, I feel like Gwyneth Paltrow is like the cross-section of Adora and Verena. Like Adora on Sharp Objects and Verena on Dietland. Like she's just draped in cashmere in such a way that drives so many people crazy. But the fact that she's figured out how to make money from that, I think, is real proof that when people say like women should run the world, I'm always like, let's put a pin in that. Like certain women. Certain,
yeah. I realized how little I knew about her. Did not realize she was with Brad Falchuk.
Oh, my God.
Didn't realize. I think I forgot about the other kid. There was a bunch of stuff. Yeah. I was like, oh, I have not been paying attention to what this woman has been doing.
Congratulations.
I
think
I love the small details of, like, one of her daughters is just sitting in the background strumming Blackbird. Just like, of course she is.
I know. It was very like her like making the clams without an apron, and then Chris Martin just shows up, and then the kids are just now doing the instruments, and Brad just walks in now, and now they're having I'm like, yeah, give me a break.
Yeah. I actually want a TV series of Gwyneth in her little Viola Davis moment of like just striding into this college classroom and shouting vagina at people.
That's the thing about the Goop brand. For a while, I was tolerant of it because it's like, all right, look, somebody's got to make $7,500 risotto and it may as well be Gwyneth Paltrow. However, then when you get into the Jade Vagina Eggs thing where she's just like advocating sexual health things that are cuckoo.
Not even just like all kinds of health shit. She's actually someone who I think would die of caucasity because she's like, let's bees sting her in this. I'm like, you're going to die by being too white. Yeah. That's what's going to happen to you.
One of the most interesting parts of this too was the fact that Goop split with Condé Nast. They were like, we're not going to do Goop magazine.
Because Condé Nast was too moral.
Right. Yeah.
They were like, wild. So we need to fact check these articles. You can't just be out here like Dr. Oz saying that all of these like doodads.
Or like underwire bras gives you breast cancer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the thing. That is the deep theory of the room, which is, and I call this theory Donald Trump versus the sun. Which is that I think we're also afraid, you know, the climate is actually changing. Like and we're all powerless, which brings out the Luddite in everybody, you know, and it brings out, it's just like witchcraft. Absolutely. That's true. Like, so there's this whole section of like people with lots of money who are going to go crazy that way and be like, we're praying to our bras that don't have underwires. And then there are the people who are like, Donald Trump is going to literally, you know, fly through the air and fight the sun with his hands and he'll win and we'll be fine.
Right,
so,
right.
That's our thing.
No, I was going to say, Goop splitting with Condé Nast because they aren't committed to truthfulness. It's like, literally, it's like the white lady InfoWars. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Which, by the way, it surprises me that she even wanted to be a part of Condé Nast. It's like, you're clearly your own, you know, ivory cashmere juggernaut. Why do you need Condé Nast?
Just typing up her little Goop newsletter in her kitchen.
You know what I think about a lot is Beyonce.
Do you?
From Houston, I do. Beyonce, Houston ass Beyonce, Brooklyn ass Jay-Z, rolling up to this house.
And being friends with them.
Them offering her moon juice. Beyonce's like, what the fuck is this? I just think about all of the things that she also probably tried to push on Beyonce. Like, girl, you got to try. You got to get stung by some bees. It'll change your life. And Beyonce just being like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's so true.
But part of B has to love it a bit. Because she did grow up with Matthew Knowles, so she knows a scammer.
Right.
And she knows how successful they could be. Because I laugh every time she's still pushing it. Every time I see ads for Beyonce's little vegan venture.
Oh, yeah.
Right. By the way, didn't Gwyneth Paltrow one time refer to Jay-Z as Uncle Jay, like for her kids? Like, wow, they are like in it deep together. Let's get some fanfic about that going.
Well, Amber Rose has been spinning fanfic on Heidi and Spencer's podcast, and Gwyneth shot back that we don't know what she's talking about.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Good. I'm glad that she felt she had to weigh in on that one. Like, it's just like, it was, you said many times, like, just, you don't have to say anything.
Nothing.
You know,
Nothing.
It's a good idea. Like, zip it.
Is this all she does now, too? Because I saw her, the last time I saw her was in The Avengers, as we've already discussed today, for like 2 seconds. Yeah. like, what's the last? This is just like what she.
This
like,
is what she's doing. It says in the article that she basically has given up because she's just gonna, you know. Now it's like when Jimmy Iovine. I heard that he just decided he was gonna be a billionaire. I'm like, that's
sure,
you know,
sure, sure.
Like that's such demented privilege where people are like, you know what, being a multimillionaire, I just feel like if I don't have a yacht, you know, what am I doing?
It's really touching. Specifically about Gwyneth Paltrow, that like they think they said they valued Goop at like $250 million, and as you said, like she claims she monetized eyeballs that were like critical of her, but I think the opposite occurred. She just created a business out of having infinite money to put into it, mm-hmm. and you know, somebody was into it, you know, and I think it was probably because I think there probably are vehement defenders of her. There are like Goop cons and stuff.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I will give her this. Her whole thing about like, I'm just making shit for rich white women, where she is so unabashed. She's just like, somebody's got to buy $1,000 blender.
Yeah.
Why? Like, people do buy that. It's like Gucci or any brand. You know, it's like someone is spending money on that.
Yeah.
And she knows who her customer is, and she does not care. She does not care about anything being affordable. She does not care about a food desert. She does not care about any of this shit. She's just like, you know what? Rich people buy shit. I'm rich.
These
rich.
White women, like, are the equivalent of rappers, like, just buying Gucci and shit.
Yes.
You know? It's like, ooh, gotta get that fish
she's
oil.
Really, right. She's mask. Like, if someone is stupid enough to buy this shit, that is not my fault, which was kind of refreshing.
I can't get mad at that.
I will say this, though. I do kind of wish she acted more because I think she is a brilliant actress.
You want a Shakespeare in Love
limited
series on Amazon?
Yes. Louis, did you not read the article? She was acting.
No, true.
Yeah, that's right.
This is her greatest role.
Yeah, are you kidding? This is her yodeling vagina at Harvard University. She still got it.
Yeah.
Switching gears a bit, what's interesting is she talks about, you know, like how she sort of takes these cultural firestorms and people, you know, being wild about her online, which I know you are no stranger to, Marty. I wrote an article about how I love like season 6 and the later seasons of Buffy.
Right.
But your Twitter bio even references like the fact that people will try and tweet at you like that you ruined the show.
Yeah.
How does it feel going from that as a producer, you know, like a decade ago to now just like you have all these shows on the air? Like, does it feel great?
God, you know, I'm way too nervous for anything to feel great. I am, you know, as you can tell from the shows, you know, that I have a lot of anxiety issues.
There's like a lot of people with rage on these shows, sure.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to turn the anxiety outward now. Like, that's what the shows are right now. And now I kind of feel like I would really like to do, like, a kid's comedy or something. Like, I feel like it's time to just, like, take the foot off the pedal for just a light. No, I mean, it does feel exciting. But, of course, like, I'm sure you guys can relate. Like, you wake up every day going, like, well, why aren't people more receptive to this show about a 300-pound woman? Like, why are we having to? So instead of just like being like, yay, you know, everything's going great, I wake up going like, what's wrong with people?
I wonder what's wrong with people every second of the day.
Has your sort of life on social media changed a bit in the few years now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I try to be more engaged in a way, like, but I've also stopped trying to like change anybody's mind. Like, I've learned the hard way, like, don't engage the trolls. Like, for a while, there was a point when, you know, because I'm very active in Every Town and Moms Demand Action, which are both, you know, really robust organizations that are fighting for gun safety, you know, and for better gun laws. That's all. We're not trying to take people's guns away. But I would get into these arguments with literally people who were like, I wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post, so I know everything about gun control. And I'd be like, okay, dude, you can't reference your own op-ed as research. You know? Like, is there any peer-reviewed research anywhere? You know, and I get filed in these rabbit holes, and then people would be like, where do you live? I have a gun.
You know? Do you ever wonder, because I just think if I had like a trillion television shows, I would forget Twitter even existed. I feel like I would be like, I'm living a real life. I don't need you people. But I think that. I say that now. But then, you know, if it were to happen, I'm like, no, I'd probably still be...
I think you'd go to a beach.
Tweets.
Yeah, I think you'd go to a beach for like a week and you'd be like, this is the life.
You know?
And like about middle of week two, you'd start being like, God, that palm tree really needs, if it was over there, instead of over there, you know, you'd start, like, I just know, you know, I think part of the reason why I love you guys so much is because I feel the kindred spirit of, like, type A, like, must destroy and eat and kill.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now, I'm so obsessed with the characters on your show, it must be said, I am fucking obsessed with sharp objects.
Yes.
Just like, again, a couple of things I love about it. One, you get so many shots of just a woman thinking, yeah, which again is like, how many shows do we get that on? Surprisingly few.
Yeah, yeah.
But I watch a show like that and I think about your other shows and I'm like, just who are on like the vision board of characters you are obsessed with for all time? Like the people you're thinking about, you're like, God, we need more characters like blank on TV.
Oh, God. I mean, it's such an interesting question because like right now I am, you know, writing a movie about Lucy McBath, who her son was shot in a stand your ground shooting back about five years ago, and it was the right after Trayvon, and you know, for a long time I was really like, I don't have a right to write this story. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not my story to tell. And in fact, that was part of the reason why I left Unreal, because there was such a dedication to like telling this Black Lives Matter story. And I was like, if we're going to tell that story, we need to be really good listeners.
Yes.
Like, super good, you know? And I was like, I don't know that we're like the best people, you know? But the truth is, like, Lucy is a person who is carrying a story that I just care passionately about, you know? And so, you know, her story is that she took what is such an incredible loss that she'll never recover from, and now she is running for Congress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, those are stories that everybody needs. Like, every person, you know, who feels or is actually marginalized needs a story about, you know, you take that pain and you keep walking, because those are the things that are going to, you know, that's what's going to fight the sun. It's not Donald Trump. You know, it's like, what's going to change the world is people who learn how to walk with pain, you know, and like live their lives. But what I'm doing now is spending time with her and actually hearing her voice and meeting, you know, like, mm-hmm, I've had to go up against some of my own gigantically racist assumptions, you know, like, mm-hmm, I was like, can I go to church with you? And I swear to God, I mean, my reference for church, uh-huh, in Atlanta was like out of a, you know, 1950s movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, Alvin Ailey dance piece you once saw.
Exactly. Yes. And I got there and I was like, oh no, it's like a modern church with like cameras.
Right. And, you know, like, was Justin Bieber there?
It felt very, and I was just like, oh, okay, so I'm still a huge racist. Like, that's, you know, you have to keep working at these assumptions that you have buried deep inside of you. So it's like, but those are the kind of characters that I want in my life, of people who inspire me to keep fighting and not like go to the beach and then start arranging,
right,
you know, deck chairs.
And you're telling these stories through women, yeah, too, which is great. You know, it's, yeah, nice to see such fully realized female characters, yeah, on TV. In all of your shows.
Yeah.
So.
And it wasn't really a plan. It's right. Just that as a female myself, you know, I only know how to write from stories that I've walked at least somewhat in. And, you know, I just don't know what it's like to be a dude. I just don't.
Well, I love how surprised everyone always is when they're like, oh my God, we actually hired women to make a television show and we have good female characters. It's like, yeah, you dumb-dumbs. That's literally all you need. Like, oh my gosh, a Black person is in charge. The show isn't racist. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That is tens. That's how it works.
But our business, I mean, I think certain businesses are much more prone to the kind of massive misogyny that lives in, you know, Hollywood, mm-hmm, and Washington and the techs. You know, it's just the I feel like all my friends who are from deeply marginalized communities have been like, yeah, mm-hmm, you know, they're like, yeah, you catch up. You,
yeah,
know? They're like, thank you. Thank you very much for barely understanding.
But have you noticed things changing, at least for the better? Are you seeing,
yes,
more female executives in the room when you're pitching shows? Or do you think there's still more work that needs to
be done? When we were making Dietland, when it's funny, you know, when you talk, Liz, about like the fact that on HBO, you know, we have the luxury of having people, you know, of women just thinking. We don't have that luxury on AMC on Dietland, because that's a show where you are literally – having to put people inside a character and explain a lot along the way about, like, this is why you should care about her. You know, you literally, mm-hmm. if we just had scenes of her sitting there looking beautiful, people would be like, I don't understand. Like, why do I care about a 300-pound? I mean, it's that much.
Wow.
You're carrying that much weight mm-hmm. of the bigotry that's held against people who are different. And this is just a new, it's a new thing we're mm-hmm. trying to do, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, when people were saying, like, when that show was getting ready to go and the Weinstein story broke, and everybody was like, will we still be relevant? I'm like, what time is it? And right. Les Moonves is still,
right.
you know.
Right.
Like, I think, you know, the problem is that inertia, everybody wants to go back to the status quo. It's more comfortable. So I feel like, yes, things are getting better. No question. Like, it has been so much easier to hire women and people of color in the last couple of years. Like, just dramatically better. 'Cause I used to try and you'd get such institutional pushback. You know, it would be like, well, yeah. that person made one episode of television. It wasn't fantastic.
Well, that's the interesting thing with this sort of recent push for, like, quote unquote diversity. You have a lot of young writers.
Yeah.
And so, but what people don't understand, like, when you need someone who's like, you need a producer level writer, you need an EP, you need a showrunner. And there are probably a handful of, for example, like, Black female showrunners who do comedy. Like, there's probably, like, I think we probably know most of
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
And so that's what it takes. That's the interesting thing, where being in it right now, you're like, oh, this will take some time because you need those people to catch up yeah. to these dudes who have been doing this forever.
Yeah.
And then you have the problem of, if you're a younger writer of color, it's like, oh, you sell a show and it's, you know, it's, they want to pair you with that producer. Chances are it's probably going to be like a white guy
yeah.
because they, you know, they're like, oh, this person.
A white guy with a knife behind his back.
And because, like, yeah, yeah, but there's only so many.
Lena Waithe can't produce every show.
Right, exactly.
She's trying. and I hope she's, I want Lena Waithe to produce every show. But
you,
yeah.
it's like, we need seven Lena Waithes because yeah. there are seven of all of these other types of people.
Yeah.
And it's funny because there is sort of that push, but you're in real, when you actually see it, you're like, oh, there's still some holes in here. And then, like, it's going to take a minute to fill.
Thank you so much for being here,
oh my
Marty.
God, my pleasure.
Dietland, the finale just aired.
It aired last night.
And I also want to thank you for mentioning me in the show.
I did. Because, you know, I am. I'm a little weird. I think that my problem is that I want to win, like, the Best Ally Award, which makes me, like, the most annoying person in the world. Like, I'm the person who would show up with, like, cookies, you know. So, anyway, I'm just I love the show. I feel like it's making the world a better place. So, thank you, guys.
Thank you. When we're back, keep it.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
And we're back with the best part of the show. Well, second best, thanks to Marty.
Mm-hmm.
It's Keep It. Kara, what's your Keep It this week?
My Keep It is to Meghan Markle's father, whose first name I don't remember because it does not matter. And this man has been, he gave a 9-hour interview over the course of 3 days about
this,
his child.
Nixon?
He needs to shut up. He is out here still talking. Don't nobody care about you. The wedding is over. Meghan is off crafting her British accent and being a princess. He said something weird about, like, her mother and that she wasn't very nice. And it sort of seemed like a little bit of an angry Black woman kind of tip. He's just generally, he said that Princess Diana would be enraged at how Meghan has been treating him. Like, Princess Diana would give a flying fuck about your ass, sir. And he needs to keep it.
Princess Diana's ghost did not
rise up
in the middle of the interview.
Snatch him down. He needs to shut up, keep it to him. I cannot believe he is still talking. And the other thing is just like, I guess at this point, he's just cutting his losses in that she's clearly not going to speak to you ever again. Like, you're never going to maybe never see her
again.
You
don't come back from
this. So I guess he's just like, well, fuck it anyway. I might as well like make $50,000 because it's not like she's going to welcome me back. I have to assume that's what he's doing. There's no way he thinks this will be like Meghan will see the 9-hour interview and think, oh, daddy, come to Buckingham Palace.
Can't he just start like royal family podcast or something? I mean, have it somewhere we don't have
talk
to talk
about getting
to
a hobby. You and Jake Tapper need to go to a show, dance your feelings away. Both of you need to relax. I don't know what he's doing. He needs to stop talking. And then like Chrissy Teigen had tweeted the same thing, like, this man needs to shut the fuck up. And his one of those awful white cousins came at Chrissy, you know, and she was just like, what is wrong with you people? This is why Meghan doesn't like any of your asses.
Princess Diana hung out with like Freddie Mercury. Let's not talk about who she would be tolerant of.
No, shut up. I hate you on behalf of Meghan. And that's the other thing. She can't ever say anything. That's what's the most fresh. Like, she can't ever respond to him. So he's just going to do these stupid interviews and keep running his mouth. And meanwhile, her mother gets to hang out with Oprah. So
I'm going to say, and Meghan will remain ravishing.
Well, keep it, Grindelwald Markle. Lewis, what's your keep it this week?
Keep it, and a sympathetic keep it to MoviePass and its attempts to exist. Okay, here's the thing. 10 months ago, we all got MoviePass because the deal was this. See however many movies you want, and it's going to cost you 2 skee-ball tokens. I'm like, all right, I'm in. We all knew it wasn't going to last, and now it's not going to last because the bottom fell out. They've been bailed out 1 or 2 times now with like
They borrowed $5 million.
Yes.
First of all, since that year, they have changed the rules of MoviePass drastically.
A number of times.
It was like, can't see movies more than once. Oh, now you have to take a photo of your receipt to show that you saw this movie.
And in the past few days, it's like, now you can't see most movies at all. Now you have to be a boy.
Some showtimes are like surging too. Like, it's crazy.
But now movies cost 3 times as much as they used to.
Is it really their fault or on us for being gullible fools to think that this would actually, like, it was always too good to be true?
Right, and also it's like they are undone by being successful.
I love that.
Right, the more people bought the movie passes, they're like, oh, this doesn't work.
Yeah, right. Oh, wait, this was dumb.
I love that they scammed rich people for a minute, though.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Like, they got us to go and see these movies and basically for free because I saw plenty.
No, I was like, I'll see Book Club 71 times. Also, it got me to other movie theaters that were into it. So that was cool. You know, it's like, oh, I don't have to sit at the Arclight where I see Melanie Griffith come in every 3 minutes.
But now it's like MoviePass is on the corner begging for change.
I feel bad because isn't it a black-owned business?
I think it might be even gay-owned, too.
Oh, guys, I know.
No, guys, if you pull out your MoviePass card right now, it will turn into a Circuit City gift card in your hand. So
it keeps texting me and asking me for a Raya referral code.
Girl, can you hook me up?
It still exists, though, right?
For now.
Okay.
It's
I don't know.
Shambles.
If I take it out of my wallet, it might vanish.
So I can't see Mission Impossible 75 with my MoviePass?
Maybe in 3 months.
Well, my keep it this week is to Vogue. So it came out that Beyonce is going to be on the September issue cover. And
Anna's last September issue, too.
Anna Wintour's last September issue. And I guess Anna Wintour decided, oh, you know, it's my last September issue. Might as well let Beyonce have unprecedented control of the magazine, but also let her hire Vogue's first black photographer to do one of their covers. This magazine has been out for 126 goddamn years. This is the first black person to shoot a cover.
That's wild.
It reminds me of that Andre Leon Talley biopic, you know, where he was talking about how he doesn't have that many friends later in life, and he wished that he had, you know, like, uplifted more people of color, you know, when he was working at the magazine. And I'm like, yeah, Andre, maybe you could have had a black photographer.
I mean, that
suggested one.
And knowing that now, this will be the first photographer that only will black photographer that'll only be working and shooting the cover because a black person, an exceptional black person who was given a very unique opportunity that no one has ever been given ever, like such a specific set of circumstances, is going to hire one. I'm like, what if we started digging into the first time they've ever had lead stylists and like other editors and like people doing all this other shit? I'm like, if they can't even get a photographer involved in this shit, I have very little hope for what they've been doing with everything else.
Also, Vogue is a magazine where I would even forget to consider it because they had, Vogue is the one with Beverly Johnson was on in like the early 70s, yeah. Right? Like 74 or something. So in my mind, I'm already going to a place of they get it more than other people do, but that's not necessarily true.
You can, I mean, like, in the last few years, like Serena has been on a bunch of times. Lupita's been on a number of times. Michelle Obama's been on a number of times. Beyonce's been on a number of times. But those are also like incredible people.
Yeah,
like,
and gorgeous people,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but they're just like such, you know, and they're so famous and they're so well known where I feel like half the time I look at Vogue and I'm like, who is this white waif? I don't know who this is. You don't have any black actresses who are, you know, like a Tessa Thompson, for example. Like she's probably not getting a Vogue cover, but like her sort of white equivalent I know has been on this magazine a ton of times. So,
Blake
Lively. Yeah.
That's the thing about Anna Wintour is like, is she cool? Because it seems like her actual taste runs so Kate Bosworth. And it's like, what?
Right.
Also, if we want to talk about people not uplifting black people, let's talk about that nigga Kanye was on the cover of Vogue with Kim. Mm. I guess we know a black person didn't do that cover.
Right, right.
Keep it. But I do hope the cover is beautiful.
Oh, Rihanna's the other one. Rihanna's constantly on the magazine.
Yes. And she's on the cover of British Vogue.
British
September
Vogue, yeah.
Issue.
But it really is it is Rihanna, Beyonce, Michelle Obama, Serena Williams, Lupita. Mm-hmm. Like those are the ones. I don't know the facts, but I would
Blue
guess
Ivy,
there are only
I'm
a
sure.
couple who have actually repeated covers. So it's a very like her taste is very specific. It's like these ones get to be on.
I guess that's our show, everybody.
I think we kept it pretty well.
Yeah. I am sitting here with Patricia Clarkson figurine that Marty Matheson gave me.
And she said specifically it was to make me mad.
She did. In the spirit of Patricia, y'all have a good day.
Oh,
and
Lord.
keep it back next week.
Oh, God.
I'm sprinting away.
That was my sharp objects impersonation.